Charles Owens. He is the Michigan State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses, or NFIB. Charles, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Thanks so much for being with the program. I wanted to talk with you about a menagerie of topics. The first one is a USA Today Money Section story quoting the NFIB, talking about many small businesses are seeing late payments. Talk about this story.
Well, if you look at the concerns that small businesses have, collecting money is always at the top of the list. What's different is that when you look at what's happening in the collections of money this year as compared to last year and even further back, you find that the average amount of time that payments are late is 6 days greater now than it was a year ago, and it's up about 10 days since about 2006. And the bottom line is that's a symptom of the economy. And in the business food chain, small businesses are at more of a disadvantage when it comes to collecting money than a lot of other types of businesses. So, you know, cash flow is the oxygen of small business. So when you cannot collect your revenue, it makes it more difficult to operate your business.
So people are getting their bills, but instead of paying them within 30 days, they're holding on to their cash for 60 or 90 days. Do they really earn any money from that, or are they just trying to get the money to be able to pay the bill?
Yeah, it's not an issue of trying to make money on the money. It's more of a survival issue of trying to make payroll on Friday or whenever payday is. And that's exactly the problem because, you know, if I'm a small business and I say, I'm really short, so I'm gonna pay my bills a little bit later or go as long as I can, well, who I am paying then has the same problem, and you can see you have a chain reaction.
When you folks polled small businesses, nearly 40% of all the firms said that they are having these challenges. Do you see this getting better, or you see it staying the same for a bit?
Well, it depends on the economic environment as a whole. It is a symptom of the economy. I mean, it's one of the life signs, and it's not a good one. So if, you know, we have all these metrics that we read to say that the economy is getting better or worse, if this were to improve, I mean, that would be a sign that the economy is doing better.
We're talking with Charles Owens, who is the Michigan State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Tell me, how is small business in the state of Michigan, and what's the number one or a couple things that you'll be working on this summer?
Well, the oddity here in Michigan, and I know this some of this is anecdotal. It's not necessarily based on research because we are a nationwide organization. I have peers in all 50 states, and we do chat and we do share information. And the oddity is that in Michigan, the attitude of small business is actually optimistic for the first time in a long time. Because of some of the changes we've seen with the new administration and the new legislature, while at the same time nationwide, concerns with Washington, D.C. are creating uncertainty and the optimism is a lot less. And this is a flip-flop. I mean, for the last decade, it's been the other way around where a lot of other states, you know, have been in recovery. And, you know, I think you're well aware in Michigan, we really never left recession. We just kind of skimmed along the bottom. So we had the situation where there was actually businesses outside of Michigan were more optimistic than the ones in. And now we have the opposite situation. And a lot of it has to do, again, with the changes in tax policy and other policies in the state.
In the 6.5 months that Rick Snyder has been governor, has the perception changed, or is it changing as far as how people look at Michigan from outside the state?
Yeah, very much so. It's going to take a while for that to percolate through and be reflected in job numbers. I know that a lot of critics of the administration, you know, threw up their hands after these policies were implemented. Said, okay, where's the jobs? And it's like, come on, you know, it took us 10 years to dig a hole this deep, and in 6 months you're asking where the jobs are. That's unrealistic. It's going to take a little while. The perception, though, is very good. We actually had one of the authors of Rich States, Poor States, which is the study that's done by the the Tax Foundation, come out and speak to our NFIB members. And he was quite impressed with what's taking place here. And this is someone that does this survey of all 50 states. So it's having a big impact. It's just going to take a little while for it to filter through and for people to be aware of it.
In reports that I've read, the top two states to do business in are Texas and North Carolina. They're business friendly. I always wondered, and even when you look to the South in Indiana, they've improved a lot on that. Why don't we send somebody down there and jot down some notes into all three of those states and see how we can start catching up?
Well, you know, I think we've done that over a number of years. The problem hasn't been knowing what to do. The problem is having the political climate to do it, and for the first time we've had that. And so a lot of these things that these policy initiatives that have taken place early in Governor Snyder's term are things that have been on our wish list and, frankly, have been on the shelf for a long time. It's just that we just didn't have the political landscape that allowed us to pursue them. You know, there are a lot of things that make up a business climate. It isn't just taxes. That's a very important component, but it's not exclusive. It's your labor climate. It's your regulatory climate, your legal climate, your tax climate. All these things work together to create the overall business climate. When you have a business climate that's perceived as negative, it takes a while to turn that around. It's just, you know, you don't flip a switch and the next day this is the best state to do business. So I think it, as these policies begin to be implemented, I think you're going to see our standing continue to rise.
And before I let you go, Charles, on the website, a couple of topics in Michigan. I just want you to touch on them. The labor union blacklist was eliminated, and also ending the union favoritism in construction bidding. Talk about those two stories.
Yeah, these are primarily issues dealing in construction and in primarily commercial construction. And the issue, we'll talk about the union favoritism issue, is a thing called a project labor agreement. And what this is typically we find them at the municipal level or the local government level. And what happens is a local unit of government has a project that's being funded by taxpayer dollars. So let's say a city is going to develop a parking lot or a building or some kind of development. And when they go to do the bid specifications, they create a thing called a project labor agreement, which sounds nice, but what it really means is they cut a deal with the labor union and says, hey, in return for you guys not striking the job site, we'll just make it so that it's pretty much impossible for a non-union company to bid this job. And what they do is they set up a contract that puts all these stipulations in, which, oddly enough, only a union contractor will meet relative to having a collective bargaining contract. Now, the folks in the labor union would differ with that and say, oh, that's not true. Anybody can bid. Well, the problem is, yeah, anyone can bid, but in order to win the award or be awarded the bid, you have to basically agree to the collective bargaining contract. Well, if you're a non-union firm, there's a reason you don't have a collective bargaining contract. It's because you don't agree with those terms. So here we're saying if you're going to take this job, you have to agree to this agreement that you threw out in the first place. So the net effect of it is basically to just make it so that non-union companies don't bid. Now, keep in mind that between 70% and 80% of all commercial construction firms are non-union. So what you've just done is you've said we're not going to have 70-80% of the contractors be allowed to bid on this job. Well, that's not a very wise stewardship of taxpayer dollars. Clearly, the construction costs are going to be higher than they normally would be because you really don't have fair and competitive bidding. So the taxpayers end up paying more. These non-union companies, many of which are small businesses and minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses, are excluded. It's just a bad, bad deal. So what the legislature did, after many years of effort on our part and on the part of ABC, Associated Builders and Contractors, is they have outlawed that practice.
All right, Charles, for more folks who want to learn more about what you do at the National Federation of Independent Businesses here in the state of Michigan, where can they go?
They can go to our website. It's NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB.com. And that's our national website, and that has a lot of focus on what we're doing in Washington, D.C. And there's a map of the United States on that website. and you can pick any state you want to see what we're doing in that state, and of course that includes Michigan.
All right, Charles, keep us on your mailing list. Some great information at that website. Thanks so much.
Okay, Tony, great talking to you.